We are in a public hearing process. Next, comments from the general public. And again, please come to the microphone, your name, and address, town, whatever. And it is general public. That means anybody in the world. Please keep your comments, germane to our performance standards and this application in the town of Searsport. Mr. Hammer.
Good evening. My name is John Hammer, and I am here, as I said before, representing the concerned residents and small businesses of Searsport, which include, but is not necessarily limited to, the following individuals. There's Ann Cromato, McCormick Economy, Jay Tongosi, Bonnie Gosi, John Nelly, Ted Kessler, Anna Kessler, and Steve Tangway. So those are just some of the few interested parties here I'm speaking for today. And I don't certainly want to speak for them completely. Each person has their own individual comments, which may be very useful for this board to hear as well. But to start with some of the concerns that we have collectively. First off, I guess my first question I have is whether the... I'm sorry. I just wasn't close enough. Thank you. So my first question really is a question for the board. I'm not sure if the junkyard application has been included in your record. If it has not, I would ask that it be included as part of the record.
Fine.
It's worth noting that in the junkyard application, the actual stated frequency of trucks was a minimum of 10 trucks per day, and I was dismayed to learn that we're talking really about 450 trucks per day, which is a huge undercharacterization of the amount of traffic we're talking about to the board of a selectman. I understand that that's been corrected here tonight, but that's worth pointing out in that application that that information may not be correct. One thing which is handy about this particular applicant is that we actually have some information about how the operation has worked in a different location, and that's Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And that's very important because that gives us a very good idea of what you can expect when and if this operation moves to Searsport. There were a number of documents which I believe have already been submitted to this board. If they haven't been, I'll offer them now. There are 5 EPA documents and a cover letter regarding some of the concerns of the applicants, and to kindly hand them out, and we'd ask that they be added to the record if you haven't already received them. And I apologize for not having enough for each board member. Hopefully you'll be able to share. These documents are...
Interrupt here for a moment. Debbie, document number 1 we'll have in there will be the application itself entered into the record. And document number 2 will be this one from the Conservation Law Foundation. It'll be so noted, numbered. Please record that.
Can we also note that it was delivered the night of the hearing and meeting?
Please note that.
It was my understanding that these documents have been submitted to the town office ahead of time as well, but we wanted to make sure that it got into your hands. And so in case there was any disconnect in the town office and your hands, that's been cured.
When were they submitted to the town office? I'm sorry. One day before the meeting they were submitted.
We received, I don't know if this is the same document yet, but one was hand-delivered by a Christopher Hunt at 3 p.m. on Friday afternoon. And we're supposed to have that. And there was one copy addressed to 7 board members. We were supposed to read that, about that copy before tonight. I think most of us,
And I understand, and that's one of the reasons why we made sure to bring the copies.
Not entering that in the record.
I'm sorry?
Not entering that one copy in the record.
And we have the copies here tonight to help make sure that everyone has a copy. But these are important documents, and we do believe that they're worth a read because they are an explanation of how this operation works and some of the things that you can expect. We could have just read them into the record, but that would have been silly. So we do suggest that this is worth a read. What these records and what experience tells us is the operation's not quite as clean as the applicant has led us to believe. Turning to some of the performance standards and some of the specific concerns that we have, these documents reflect that the stormwater runoff that results from a big pile of recycled and fair materials like this have included large amounts, or at least significant enough amounts, of PCBs and mercury to raise concerns of government officials. One thing that has been absent in the application so far is any discussion about how the stormwater will be treated for these substances and how residuals in the pond will be handled. Because after a while, these materials are going to build up, and it's going to be a significant concern, especially if the materials are eventually being discharged to the ocean directly. I'm glad to hear that as a condition of operation that there is going to be some water testing by the DEP. We request that as a condition of the application that the town be opted on those as well, in particular that there be testing for those two substances, PCBs and mercury, because those are the two that seem to come up time and time again in these in Portsmouth. The applicant has touched upon air quality very briefly, but we don't think that they've adequately addressed it in their application. One of the problems in Portsmouth, as it was discussed, was the dust cloud that came from the pile. What was mentioned is it was a problem for more than people just across the street, that Portsmouth recorded air quality issues up to 3/4 mile away. So that's significantly further than just across the street. Dust is dust, and it's going to blow, and it's going to keep blowing until something stops it. This dust may contain iron, may contain aluminum, other noxious materials. Either way, just plain old dust in of itself is bad enough when you're dealing with large amounts blowing. There's no plan in place to actually keep the dust under control. I'm glad to hear that there was some discussion about what could be done to control, but simply pouring water back onto the pile is also going to exacerbate the problem of the runoff and the mercury and other materials that may be rinsing off of these, this recycled material into the pond. It has been reported by Portsmouth residences and a certain Market Street business owner that the trucks, as they're shipping these materials into the site, actually, maybe high sides, but sometimes some of the material is going to bounce out and fall into the street. And apparently there's been a significant number of people complaining that their tires have been slashed from this lost material. And there's been not a whole lot of talk about the trucks before they enter the site, but we request that as a condition that the trucks be required to be covered to make sure that those materials are contained to the extent possible. When discussing application, the applicant mentioned that there could be 40 to 50 trucks entering the site per day. There's been no adequate discussion of on-site traffic circulation or what will happen to those trucks as they drive around the site. The application simply says there will be no need for them to park because they'll be coming and going. But if you've got 40 or 50 trucks coming per day, that's a fairly long line of trucks that's going to be lining up on the property. And the application simply doesn't explain how those trucks will be handled, where they'll be sitting, they'll be idling while they're sitting, and to mention the exhaust from all these trucks will be waiting around to unload their product. We anticipate the noise is going to be a significant issue. I'm glad to hear that there was discussion about that. We're dubious about whether 70 dBA at the residential property lines is going to be sufficient to protect the town. You've got a large part of the operation occurring right on the water. This noise is going to travel across the water. It's going to impact people, not necessarily where you might think it be impacted. So certainly the residents in 2,400 feet away may hear noise across the bay. In downtown Searsport, you may experience something else. But it's going to be a noisy operation, and it's going to be a busy operation with 40 or 50 trucks per day between those hours dumping their metal and their chunks of metal on the ground and having them tossed around left and right. It's going to be a huge pile, I think 40, 50 feet, they said. There's just no way that is going to be a quiet operation, and it's going to be heard far off-site. There's been some discussion about how the materials will be collected on-site that may get loose from the pile or that might escape from the magnets as they're being loaded onto the ship. We're not sure exactly how often there's going to be recovery from the water. We believe that by the time a ship comes in and is loaded up, there's going to need to be some recovery from the water. No matter how big a plank put to cover the crack between the ship and the shore, there's going to be some material that's going to escape. Every single time, something is going to get into the water, and it's going to be extremely important that there's a condition to require that it be recovered each every time. A couple of miscellaneous notes. I know that the board found that the application is complete. It was worth noting that the right title interest included a cover page from a master agreement and skipped straight to page 21 and believe that the entire document really ought to be submitted to straight right title and interest. Right now, we know that there's some agreement out there, but the details of the agreement are lost, and we don't believe that that qualifies as proper title or interest. It's also worth noting that on, I believe, page 23, one of the last pages of the agreement refers to construction. The applicant is required to pay for the cost of installing a new. There's been no discussion, however, of this happening, and I believe that more information is necessary to assess what that will mean and when that's planned and if there are any upgrades proposed and anything about that. And what I hope to be my final comment, the question of financial capacity is one which is necessary application is complete. Given the experience that the City of Smith had with this operation, the cost of environmental remediation, and the host of problems that have been associated with the operation, we believe that you need to make sure that there's more than the standard run-of-the-mill financial ability for this applicant. We think that under the circumstances, a bond might be necessary to make sure that there's funds in place in case something goes wrong and remediation is necessary. This type of material, if you're dealing with anything with PCs, it's extremely expensive. And in the end, it's your land, your town, and without a bond to protect you, we think that you're just opening yourself up to some potential liability. Or not liability, but potential costs down the road. If I could indulge you for one moment so I can just confer briefly, and perhaps maybe other members of the public, I'll check to see if we have any final closing comments.
May we have a copy of your comments or questions?
I would be happy to provide them to you, but right now they're all scribbles because I move stuff around. But I would be happy to put this down in a letter to you and get it first thing in the morning.
That would be very helpful.
Okay. Thank you.